Federal agencies are facing their second major deadline in the next month under the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. By April 30th, agencies must tell the Office of Management and Budget about how they are doing in implementing FITARA and making progress against their initial self-assessments. Well, that's true for all but two major agencies, the Departments of Energy and Labor. They've still got to get OMB's approval for their initial plans. In his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about labor and energy's challenges with FITARA, and he joins me now to discuss what's going on. There's always two outliers, aren't there?
It's not easy to get these what we'll call sometimes compliance exercises done, but the issue here is, Tom, the deadline for agencies was December, and here we are April, and they're still not done. And those are real head-scratchers why labor and energy are struggling. I think it's pretty straightforward about energy, but labor was kind of surprised me, given that traditionally labor has done actually a fairly good job of meeting these type of deadlines for OMB and broadly speaking. But let me start with the easy one, energy. In the 2016 Omnibus Appropriations Bill, Senator Lamar Alexander added a provision basically taking the labs, national labs from Energy Department, and removing them from having to abide by FITARA. And this was very controversial. The labs initially asked for just a waiver, and OMB said no. So Alexander put in this provision, and for 2016, they don't have to follow FITARA. And I think that's given energy a bigger challenge to say, okay, well, if they're not going to follow it, what's the rest of energy to do and how does that work? And there is money that goes to the labs. The labs do have to follow certain laws like the Federal Information Security Management Act, like FISMA. So how does this all fit together? So I think that's energy's big challenge.
Because if you back out the national labs from energy, that's most of it,
yeah,
in terms of people and dollars.
Correct. And now remember, the national labs are all run by contractors. So
Caltech.
Right. It's called government-owned, contractor-operated, the GOCO model. And many of them are FFRDCs, a federally funded research and development center. So therefore, they feel like we don't have to abide by it. And that has been their traditional viewpoint. And that's a big problem for energy, because a cybersecurity breach at a national lab is still a cybersecurity breach of the federal government, because it is their data per se. That is their ownership of the organization. So that's a big, big challenge. I think at labor, Tom, that was more surprising. And I reached out to several different people from labor. I talked to one former official who said, I have no idea why this is a problem. I talked to another former official who said they were surprised because, again, traditionally labor has done a good job. As I dug a little bit more, it seems like the outlier here is the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS. BLS is the big dog on the block for labor. It's not a huge agency, but if you think of IRS and Treasury, Census and Commerce, if you think of really big bureaus within the agency, I think that's where BLS falls in labor. And I've been told that BLS also has pushed back traditionally against certain, if you will, IT shared services. Email is a good example. They didn't want to switch email servers, email providers, email addresses until finally it was forced. So I think that's the key there to why labor is struggling with FITARA, how to bring in BLS.
So what happens to them now that they're behind?
Well, they're continuing to work. Both spokesmen for both energy and a spokesman for labor said, we are committed to getting these plans done. We will send them to OMB soon. But that was all about why. They didn't really give me too much more about why there's challenges. What happens is, I think this has now become public information. Congress knows about it. David Pounder from GAO, the director of IT issues, who's following this very closely, he's the one who talked about it at a recent conference. And I think that's going to bring some heat on those two agencies from Congress, because we've talked to Will Hurd before, the congressman from Texas, the chairman of the IT subcommittee of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He said he will be following this closely. Jerry Connolly, another congressman from Virginia, said, we will follow this closely. So I expect some heat will be coming down.
Yeah, if you've got something you're supposed to do with bipartisan urging and you don't do it, then you've really got a problem on your hands.
And with this other deadline coming for agencies to say, how have you done since December? What's your 3-month update? There is no 3-month update from Energy and Labor. Their 3-month update is, I hope we can get this plan approved.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. And something else in your notebook today caught my eye, and that is NASA cybersecurity, something you've been reporting on, the plans about the Griffin X project, which is important to NASA. What's going on there?
So Griffin X, we wrote about it last week in the notebook. You and I talked about it. And this is a proposal from Ames Research Center that many in the cybersecurity community believe will really help secure the critical infrastructure in what they say a more active, more proactive way, and also push the space agency back toward in the front of the innovation pack. I think NASA's really kind of fallen behind, specifically about things like cybersecurity when it comes to innovation. NASA Ames Chief Information Officer Jerry
Davis. Of course,
Homeland
Security is not sending anybody to Mars either.
No, it's true. But if you if someone hacks into your system and makes you go to Jupiter instead, that's a bad thing.
That's true.
Jerry Davis, the NASA Ames Chief Information Officer, was the co-author of this proposal. And basically, it's what we heard from NASA is that's in the formulation stage. It is a proposed program. They are going to look more deeply at the funding requirements, the process requirements, and then they're going to actually reach out to the broader community, both within NASA and outside of NASA, to talk more about this, to really see if this is doable. Now, James Scott, who is the co-founder and senior fellow at the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology, they were the ones a couple weeks ago now that put out a paper on the Griffin X. He said, this is the type of pressure we need to get this moving. This is a breakthrough. This is a big game changer. And he says, the fact is that NASA's talking about it is a huge, huge deal. So it's good to see whether it's because of my story or just because of ICIT or the broader interest that finally got NASA moving. But they had been sitting on this Griffin X proposal for several months.
At the same time, you reported earlier that they had problems with their continuous monitoring program, and now some member of Congress at least is looking at it.
Well, they're at least looking at the program called I3P. Now, this is an umbrella program that includes several contracts. One of the contracts that I wrote about called ACES, that's run by the Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Services, was a major issue with my month-long investigation around NASA cybersecurity. Now, Congressman James Sensenbrenner is asking more questions about another contract under I3P called the NICS contract and NASA Integrated Communication Services that's run by SAIC, and some what he calls serious concerns about illegal expenditures and unethical activity. Now, Tom, this is separate from cybersecurity. This is not a cyber-related issue.
Sounds like a whistleblower.
But it is a whistleblower issue, and it is related to the problems NASA is having managing, overseeing, controlling I3P contractors who have been given wide scope, a lot of power. And I think that's part of the problem with my month-long investigation, that HP Enterprise Services was told to fix these cyber problems. And they said, well, we're trying. We can't. We don't have the resources. It's all related that what's wrong with I3P. I think that's a key piece from Congressman Sensenbrenner saying, here's another contract that's problematic.
All right, we'll have to watch that one as it develops. And finally, we would like to close with something sad about a longtime member of the federal acquisition community that, Jason, you and I both knew.
Bob Welch, who was a 30-plus-year government employee, worked as the senior procurement executive at Commerce, at Treasury, and then later he became an executive at ASI Government. Unfortunately, he passed away late last week. He had been, sick for the last 4 months on a ventilator. Bob was someone who, widely speaking, was a well-liked, well-respected figure across the federal procurement community. It's a sad loss for the community.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
Always a pleasure.
Read his Inside the Reporter's Notebook online now at Federal News Radio. Radio.com, and you can share this interview with colleagues, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive, and click share with friends.